Same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes,
Let us pray together. Jesus, we know that you've done dramatic, divine, eternal things for us. All that you did upon the cross is to benefit us, so that we would understand the glory of God, that we would understand the power of the resurrection, that we would hear your call to each one of us. For it's your design to include us all. You call to us. You've paid the price for our sins upon the cross. You've given your life so that we might have life. Allow us in this life to not be timid. Remind us that we're called to boldly come to your altar, to your throne, to the cross, and not allow anything to get between us and you, not even our sin. You desire to have us acknowledge our sin, confess it to you. Bring it to your altar, your throne, to the foot of the cross. And in that, allow us to feel the forgiveness that only you can give us. A forgiveness that not only takes away our guilt and our sin in the moment of life, but puts us on a path that's a better path, a blessed path in life. We're thankful that you want to be in relationship with us. And Lord Jesus, we want to be in relationship with you. You call us to bring to you the things that are heavy upon our minds, our hearts, and our souls. We bring those things to you today. We pray for our world and our country. We pray for those that are on the front line fighting the COVID virus. Lord, we pray for those in our community, our own church, that are suffering from the virus. We know, Lord, that there is always good things on the horizon for us. That when we're in relationship with you, you hear our prayers, and our prayers to you are something that you respond to. Our prayers do make a difference when they're lifted to you. Today in our worship, allow us to be lifted up. Help us to feel your presence, your peace, and your power. And we pray all these things, Lord, in your name. Amen. Well, it's great to have you with us today. As you might know, we're virtual today from the Squim Community Church campus. There's been an uptick in coronavirus in our county and our city. That hasn't gone by our church without it impacting several lives. So we thought that we would voluntarily shut down our campus for several weeks to allow those that are sick to overcome that, to go through that and not affect anyone else in our city or in our church. Please pray for those that are suffering, those that are very challenged this week as they face the COVID virus. We too have long lines of people wanting to be tested for the COVID virus, and if you think you've been around someone has exposed you to the virus, I'd encourage you to go and get a free COVID test so that you can be positive about being negative in that virus. That means that this Sunday we're really without anyone in the room or with our great band and singers. That will be our mode next weekend. Over Thanksgiving weekend, we will be virtual again. And then the following week, folks will be invited back in to be a part of the service, both at 9, 10, and 11 o'clock. A few announcements for you. We've been doing some great things in the last week. We have collected our shoe boxes through Samaritan's Purse. Those are being taken to the distribution center. I believe it's well over 500 boxes will be taken over from Squim Community Church. Another thing that we've helped with in the community is we've done our food bank Thanksgiving food giveaway. And that took place yesterday, and over 15 people from our church were a part of a giving Thanksgiving dinner to those that are in need. Our new opportunity is for foster care children. We gather stocking stuffers, smaller items that would fit into a stocking. We'll have bins for you to place those items in the coming weeks. So while you're at the store, look for a little art supply, school supply, a stuffed animal, anything along those lines that you would give to your children in their stocking would be a great thing for you to contribute over the next several weeks. Today's our last deep dive into having a deep faith, and Dave's here to read our scripture passage.
Good morning, Squim Community Church. I'm David Dombrowski, and I'll be reading the scripture passage this morning. And that's from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 40, and also John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question: "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." And then in John chapter 3, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him."
Today we're talking about a deep divine connection with God. It's interesting, us human beings, at the core of who we are is really a desire to be loved and to love others, to be known for who we really are, and to know other people for who they really are. I believe the divine relationship between us and Jesus is the missing puzzle to the puzzling life that we live. Without that key piece put into place, we live in a vacuum. We live yearning. We live a little confused and upset that somehow God has created us incomplete. But he's created us incomplete for a reason. He's the reason. He wants us to know him, and he wants to be in relationship with us as he knows us. And having a deep faith is having a deep give and take relationship with God. Listening to him, responding to him, taking his commands and instructions and suggestions and putting them into play in our daily lives. Once that God piece is in place, it's amazing how, well, life seems to make greater sense. Even greater sense in the midst of all the lockdown and all that we have been discussing as a nation over the last several months. At the heart of all the things that are going by us, surrounding us, swirling by us in life, God's love for us and our love for God, those are the still point in our turning world. That is what truly anchors us, not only to ourselves, but in our relationship with God and our relationship with those around us. How do we have a deep soul connection with God? How do we have a deep and growing relationship with God? Well, Jesus himself told us how to start down the right path when it comes to a relationship with God. Matthew 22, verse 37. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. Now, Jesus gives us this commandment because God does love us. We've been created in his image. He has placed us on this planet for a reason. We're not an accident. And what he truly desires is that we would have a love relationship with him. That we would place him first in our life, that he would be the ultimate and top priority of our life. A love relationship, that's what we all want. We all want to be loved and we want to love other people. God loves us and he wants us to love him. He wants us to love him not only now, but as we go through life, loving him each and every day until we reach eternity. God wants us to spend eternity with him and with those around us. A deep, loving connection with God. Well, what is that all about? How do we know? How do we exercise getting to know God, reflecting the love, the priority that we have for him? Well, in our relationship with God, there's parts that God does, and then there are parts that we must do. On God's side, what he wants us to do is to know that he gives us a divine invitation. He wants us to be in relationship with us. And he hasn't left that to a happenstance. God wants to love us and be in a love relationship with him. He's created us in his image. And he's created us with a missing God part. That once we locate that, once we take that love of God and bring it within our own mind, heart, and soul, well, that changes everything, doesn't it? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Paul is making it clear from the very beginning, we are the object of God's affection. It's out of his love that he sent Jesus as one and only son. It's out of love that Jesus gave his life so that we might have life. It's out of love that God forgives our sins and he doesn't hold it against us any longer. God is moving towards us because he wants to be in relationship with us. He's the one that has placed in each one of us a desire to know him, a desire to connect with his love. Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has planted eternity in the human heart. You know, that's a universal element of humanity. One thing that unifies us on this planet from one side of the planet to the other is that we all yearn to connect with God. We all yearn to know the God that loves us. And God has made it easy for us. He's done the greatest part of the work in his relationship with us. He has placed in each one of us a desire to know him, a desire as we feel around for the missing pieces in our life. We discover that God is there already. He has placed that desire in us to find that divine peace and place it at the center, at the core of who we are as human beings. James chapter 1, verse 21. This is out of the New Jerusalem Bible. James says, "Humbly welcome the word," Jesus, "the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Humbly welcome the word which has been planted in you and can save your souls." And it's true, our love relationship with God, it does save our soul. It does slate us for eternity. But that word has been planted in us so that it would be good not only eternally, but it would help us in each and every challenging moment of life and faith. God has reached out to us. He has planted eternity in our heart. He has planted a word inside of us that calls to salvation in Jesus Christ. Hope in Jesus Christ. Trust in Jesus Christ. God extends a divine invitation to us. And as he does that, he works so that we know who he is, because he wants us to know him. Our God is not a God who is hiding. He's not far off and uncaring, just the opposite. He came to this planet. He lived just like you and I live. He understood the challenges and the pain of living in this world. And living in this world, God and man upon the cross, God used his power to resurrect him. And by that same power, we're able to live day in and day out. No, God has revealed himself to us so that we can know him. Jeremiah 29, verses 13 and 14. "You will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me. When you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord." God has revealed himself. He wants us to find him. He's not hiding. He's not requiring all of these rituals or all of these activities before we can be in relationship with him. We often think that we have to get our act together to be in relationship with God. And the truth is we get our act together when we're in relationship with God. It's in Jesus that our old self passes away, and we're able to put on the new divine, the new godly image, godly self that God has in store for us. Well, he reveals himself because he wants us to find him. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One simple but profound verse. A declaration that everyone can do. A declaration that we believe in Jesus. And we believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's how we come unto the Father. That's how we get from here to heaven. That's how we make a life of faith each and every day. Stepping more and more into that new self that God has in store for us. Yeah, God wants us to know him. He's not hiding. He also wants to teach us. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. God wants to teach us, and he wants us to understand the deep sense of spirituality that is ours to have. We don't have to be tossed around, as Paul says, by every wind of doctrine, every conversation that takes place, every new idea or new belief. Just the opposite. We know the simple truth about eternity. And we know that simple truth is to have faith, trust, to believe in Jesus. And to confess that not only with our lips, but confess that in how we live out our life each and every day. And that's the challenge, isn't it? That's the big challenge that we face today. Living out our Christian faith in what we say and what we do. God wants to be in relationship with us, and he wants to teach us about this new self, this better spiritual self that we can be, that we are becoming, because we have confessed our belief in Jesus. And God is sending the Holy Spirit to us. He has, and he will each and every day. Because he wants us to understand how to benefit from our relationship with him. How to be empowered and at peace as we respond to God's will in our life. Yeah, he extends an invitation. He doesn't hide out. He reveals himself to all of us. And he wants us to know the truth. And he wants to help us live that truth out. John 14, 26. But the Counselor, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, comes from the Father, and he will send in his name. I can do this right. But the Counselor, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. All the spiritual things that we need to know. All the things that we need to know to move ahead day after day after day until our time on this planet is over and we're taken to heaven. We know how to live each and every day by faith. God lays that out in his commands, in his instructions, and his suggestions. And he gives us the Holy Spirit, who prompts us, who reveals to us, who goes before us, who comes alongside of us, exactly how to live out that truth, to know that truth, and then put that truth into play in our life. And he will remind you of everything that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us understand God's word. And when we are, as we might be today, struggling with how to live out our faith, the Holy Spirit is good at taking what God has taught us in his word. And he's good at helping us interpret that and again, putting that into play in our daily lives. It is a truth for everyone, but through the Holy Spirit, that truth is personalized. So that we know how to live today, or we know how to live tomorrow. Or we don't have to be in fear of what's up ahead. No, God has sent us the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, to teach us everything that we need to know spiritually, to teach us all the things that Jesus and Paul and the other apostles have left us, the prophets before them, to understand all of God's truth. And the foundation of that truth is that God loves us, and He invites us, He calls us into a love relationship with Him. And how stabilizing that is for us in these troubled times. To feel God's power, God's peace, God's direction and leading in our life. If we're going to go deep in our faith, we will discover a God who loves us. And one of the great ways that He shows His love to us is my fourth point, and that is He seeks to bring good out of things that are bad or evil. Today, we do not have to look very far before we see some bad circumstances. Have a sense that evil is a little bit on the loose. And it is God that wants to work in us and through us, through the power and leading of the Holy Spirit, to respond to God in love and not fear, not to be worried about the bad that is around us or the evil that is around us. God is in the business of doing good, bringing about good in things that are bad, things that are evil. He wants us to not fail as we live out our life. He wants us to succeed. And many times what it takes, and we're all being tested here now, is it takes some endurance and some patience. Many people today are enduring. We were hopeful of a family gathering at Thanksgiving, and now that's not going to be the case. And so it's easy to be frustrated and a little depressed about all of that. But in the midst of that loss, God will bring growth. God will bring a good opportunity for us. Yes, it'll be different than what we imagine, what we hope for. But God is great at dealing with what's not right in us and in our world and bringing about something good, bringing about something meaningful, bringing in these temporal moments something divine to us. And I don't know about you, but this next verse is a great verse for me. Romans 8:28. We are all well aware that God works with those who love Him. Those who love Him, those who have been called in accordance with His purpose. And He's the one that turns everything to their good. God wants to turn the bad into good. And we know that that's the kind of God that we worship, because in our death, we experience resurrection. We leave this mixed world of good and bad, and we spend eternity in glory, in God's glory. Yes, God is trying to work everything out for good for those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. See, that's the part we play in our relationship with God. God invites us. God reveals Himself to us. God teaches us, but we're the ones that have to respond. that need to respond. We all need the personal discovery of the reality that God is bringing good, bringing something divine out of something that's bad, difficult, awful, tragic, depressing, stressing. And he does want to be the still point in our turning world. He wants to be our anchor. He wants to be the path that we're walking on, the right path, the illumined path from one day to the other. Our God is a great God. And he wants to remind us that he's given us power, but it's not as powerful as spiritual power. Have you noticed, especially when you're dieting or something like that, that your willpower is just not powerful enough? That, yes, willpower takes you a few days, even a few weeks, even a few months. But what we need, and what we need in these times, is spiritual power, divine power. We need to have God reveal himself and begin to help us to see the good that he is doing. And man, there's a lot of good being done in the midst of all that we hear and see on the news feed. God is moving. God's people are moving forward. And God wants us to know, I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the endurance. You can hang in there. You can hang on. Colossians 1:11. We pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul. Yeah, this is starting to be the long haul, isn't it? We pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul, not the grim strength of gritting teeth, but the glory strength that God gives. It is a strength that endures. The endurable, and it spills over into joy. Wow, what a promise. What a promise. The promise is that as we seek God, as we love God, as we allow him to teach us and empower us, he gives us a divine strength. An ability to do more or hold up under more than ever before. In fact, as Paul states it other places in the New Testament, he will give us in difficult circumstance a great joy. A great joy. As I've made my way around our Squim community, I've noticed that not everyone is experiencing joy. With the uptick of COVID here, people are concerned. I see a lot of concerned faces, a lot of disappointed faces, a lot of faces of people who are sick physically. And all I know is that I'm in a relationship with a God who loves me, and I seek to love him. And as I do that, as my faith deepens, God does empower me. He empowers us. And what he wants to bring us is a sense of purpose and meaning, a sense of joy in the midst of the challenge. And life is challenging. Meaning, love, joy. Those aren't things that you'll find on the shelves this Thanksgiving weekend. But as you read, as you meditate on God's word, you'll find that there is a God of divine love who wants to carry on a deep, loving relationship with you, with me, with us. And in that, we have what we need to get from here to there. We have the power and the wisdom in the leading of God that will lead us each and every day, each and every week, each and every month, despite the circumstances. Jesus is right. We will never go wrong by loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Let's pray together. Jesus, we are thankful that you have been the revelation of God to us. That as you have come, live just like we live, died a criminal's death on our behalf, to take away the sins of the world, to take away our sins. And Lord, in giving your life, you offer us life. And we're thankful for this reminder today that you're the one that gives us an invitation into relationship with you. That you're not hiding or uncaring. You are not far off, but very close. And as we search for you, we're thankful we didn't have to go very far. Because you're the one that is right there calling to us, cheering for us. Please continue to teach us spiritual things. Teach us the practical outpouring of your truth and of our faith in you. And we're thankful for the reminder that you are working. You're working things out for good. And our job is to joyfully hold on and make the most of whatever is before us. To do our very best. And we know, Jesus, that whenever we put our best foot forward in your direction, we know that that's always the right direction to go. Jesus, thank you for your love, for having a relationship with each one of us. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.
You are here.
Faithful, you are loving, you are good. We look to you in hope today, God. Thank you for making a way in the wilderness. We love you, Lord. We bless your name today. Continue to encourage your church. Draw us close to you. Help us live by faith, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.